So what are we doing this week, Cole?
Well, Gary, as you are aware, I am currently getting my PhD in oozology.
From ooze you.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'm studying under Ivan Ooze.
I got a chance to play in ooze you when I was at PAX, and it sucks. So I don't recommend it.
Wait a minute, is that different than the Ouzia?
Oh, the Ouzia. That's what I meant.
Well, I hear it supports the Ouzculus Rift, so we're fine. Yeah. But yeah, it's like the technology is there, but the funding isn't. I really worry that developers are not going to get the maximum capacity.
Capacity.
Yeah. See, that's what happens when I try and improvise. But anyway, studying under Ivan Ooze, no relation to the Power Rangers villain, and just looking at the genetic effects on stuff, right? So I'm going to take this petri dish. Can you do me a favor and hock a loogie in there?
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Right. Do it. Oh wow, look at how much ooze that is. All right, so we're gonna take this and put it in the centrifuge and separate it out and look at the genetic code. Mix in some science here and okay, so you're aware that Gattaca, G-A-T, C, all that there, but there are
no
a couple
justice,
of
no peace.
Yeah. And looking at the
hot
code
soup, motherfuckers.
Looking at the code readout here, we have T M N T. Huh, what's that mean?
It means hot soup, motherfuckers. Gattaca, Gattaca, Gattaca.
Oh man.
Gattaca. Riot.
I think you're confused.
Confused.
Yes. But Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That's what we're gonna play.
Oh, the arcade game?
No, the NES one.
Ah!
I don't know why you're so angry.
Oh, yeah. Fun!
Fun with this.
Yeah, let's introduce this. We're gonna have fuck with this.
Yes.
I'm just gonna interchange those two words. All right. So my name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the podcast show where you make us play games of questionable quality.
Yes. And this week we are talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the NES, which was developed by Ultra, nay Konami, in the late 80s or so, at the height of Turtle Mania.
Yeah. It was definitely Turtle Mania, and I was a Turtle Maniac.
Oh, me too.
Before I was a Frank Fontaniac, I was a Turtle Maniac.
You know, I think that my Turtle Mania period sandwiched nicely in between my Hulkamania and my Frank Fontanamania.
Yeah, I started out as a He-Maniac.
Okay.
And then became a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Maniac.
Mm-hmm. And then a Pokemaniac. I was a Pokemaniac for a little while.
And I spent a long time being too cool to be a maniac for anything.
Yeah.
And then became a Frank Fontaniac.
Mm-hmm. After
brief
you embrace the new sincerity.
Yes. Jesse Thorne showed me the way.
I'm so happy you know the reference. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, Frank Fontaniacs are we all, and also Turtle Maniacs.
Yeah, Turtle Maniacs.
Yeah.
We have to eat a little bit of crow real quick, too. So right after the last episode where we talked about Friday the 13th being, or not last episode, the episode before last, talking about that being published by Atlas.
Yeah.
Retronauts did an episode on it, like, right then.
Yeah.
Like, almost the exact same time. And they point out how, there was tons of outsourcing in Japan, at that time for development. So it probably wasn't actually Atlas. But Atlas decided to put their name on it. So that's still a crime of sorts. But it's not we were wrong about saying it was Atlas. And this, I wonder who, exactly who did this. Like, as far as – it's definitely a Konami game.
Mm-hmm. It has Konami features.
Yeah, I'm starting to suspect, Cole, that this game is too hard.
I tried looking for some commentary on this game on the internet. It is damn near impossible.
Yeah.
There's lots of people talking about stadium games and and Pugsy for the Genesis, but nobody is talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Where I think we are plowing new ground here.
We're plowing forgotten ground.
Yeah,
we've dug up an artifact because this was definitely the shit back in the day. Like, I mean, everyone had this. It was, you know, it sold like 4 million copies or something like that, like something ridiculous. Everybody had this game, and everyone played it because of Turtle Mania and because, you know, you played games that you had at the time. And I think this was, I mean, there's a lot of hard games for the NES, you know, and I played a bunch, you know, I beat Battletoads like when I was younger. I played Castlevania to completion and such. This is hard.
This is really, really hard.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And like, I've gotten really far in this without emulator aid, right? Without save states or anything. Just, again, little
kid, refreshing glass of emulator aid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, as long as you drink it and then evacuate it from your bladder within 24 hours, it's legal. So
as long as you own a closed can of it in your fridge, you can drink as much emulator aid as you like.
As a safety. But you have to make sure it doesn't give you a virus.
Yeah.
I guess would just result from a contaminated batch. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a joke as much as it is just a statement. Be careful.
96%.
Have you ever wondered why I only drink rainwater and grain alcohol, Gary?
Yeah, because it's so pure.
Exactly. But it's so I have prevailed on this a lot of times, but here I was hitting my Command D and Command F quite frequently.
Did you beat it? Like when you were younger?
No, I've got to the Technodrome before. Like, you know, I have seen the Shredder being fought. So it's possible. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've watched them. I got to the Technodrome when I was younger, too. Mm-hmm. On this playthrough for the show, I got to stage 3. And so I got past the infamous dam, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and then just died against rooms full of randomly designed enemies.
Yeah, yeah.
From other games.
Enemies like cameoing.
Yeah. Just left over the scratch and dent enemy bin from just Konami enemies, like something from Castlevania, something from like a Gundam game we never got.
Yeah.
And here every once in a while a foot soldier.
Couldn't afford the can of whole enemies, so we had to get the halves and pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, yep.
Yeah. But
save money buying our own enemies and mixing them together. So that's where I got this playthrough. Where'd you get this playthrough?
I got up to the dam, like actually going through and defusing the bombs. So that was good. That was a half hour of, you know, of relatively earnest play. Mm-hmm. I like this game.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Like, you know, and, you know, that could be nostalgia, and I'm aware of that. But there's cool stuff here. Like the, you know, they don't have a live system. You have four turtles. If one of them loses all their health, they're captured, and then you can rescue them later in really, really difficult ways. But they all have different weapons, and they're better for different situations, except for Raphael, who is just the worst.
Even Michelangelo is not better for different situations. Like, it's essentially like one really one. You know what it reminded me of? And it's kind of a weird thing for it to remind me of. I was playing it was chess, like the way that you have to protect the queen, but then you have these kind of pawns going on, and like you really need, you know, Donatello to last for, like, that is your ace in the hole, and when he gets, you know, damaged, like, that's devastating.
Yeah.
And then you have these pawns like Michelangelo and Raphael, like, oh, just let them crawl through the electric, you know, dam level, because they're definitely not going to hit guys,
right?
So
the entire game becomes about spotting like sending a pizza brigade and then like softening it up and then putting Donatello in so he can claim the pizza.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. I wonder how much of my opinion that Donatello was the best turtle was because of the game or just because I knew I was going to be a nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember I watched some of the cartoon recently and I came around on Donatello. He wasn't my favorite growing up. I was a Raphael man.
Mm-hmm.
But I came around on Donatello thematically, but then in the cartoon, I actually think he has a really annoying voice. He's not quite like the Cam Clark Leonardo voice, but those voices are like, his voice is a super ubiquitous nerd voice that just shows up in 1,000 cartoons.
Yeah.
He's a little snivelly, which makes sense for a science dude. Yeah. When I was young, I never thought that I didn't think his stick was cool enough. I thought the other weapons were cooler.
Yeah, so. Except for the Psy.
So the thing, the reason I liked Raphael was from the movie, like his treatment in the movie, like, you know, his like angsty, angry, like that spoke to me at the age I happened to be when that movie came out. So,
yeah, that was the first movie I was ever taken to at 3 years old. I believe I fell asleep halfway through. But it's adorable. But I remember liking Donatello because he was voiced by Corey Feldman.
Yeah, a fan of the Feldmans or the Coreys, even at that age.
Yep.
And now you can go on eBay and buy one of his teeth.
Yep, Corey Mania, they called it.
Yep, yep. You're a Corey Maniac.
Yeah. One of his... Was he the one who smoked crystal and was molested by Michael Jackson, or was that Corey Haim? Okay.
It was both, yes.
Okay.
It was both. I'm pretty sure. He's the one who famously sold his teeth, and who Vice recently did a story about his birthday party that's like the saddest thing that you'd ever read.
Oh, no.
Like, I try not to read Vice because it's annoying, but I was like, oh, I'll look at this. And he just hired a bunch of porn stars to, like... be ladies at his birthday party.
Yeah, that's real sad. Do you ever get the sense that Vice is the BuzzFeed of like journalism?
It's a way, they're way better journalists. Like BuzzFeed isn't even journalism.
Vice, I know. I just some reason Vice stuff just kind of seems like share bait a little bit.
It's like, sometimes they will do the like their headlines. I follow the Vice Twitter parody Twitter account. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that thing?
No.
Oh, it's incredible. Like you have to get on this shit. Like it's just very like, and they retweet Vice sometimes and they are indistinguishable how fucking dumb these are. Like it just, you know, we got celebrity high on blank and forced him to do blank for no reason. Or and it's just, they're really like really accurate to what Vice actually does. But then like Vice will do these like weird hard hitting, like investigative things that are not, you know, I don't delve into their research, but they'll go places that you don't see very often.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, they get a modicum of respect for me while I hate everything about their, like, we're the bad boys of journalism.
Yeah. The fact that they're willing to like go out and talk to people as opposed to just take AP feeds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like one of my friends, he moved to a city. I don't want to name him. Moved to a city with his girlfriend who like immediately dumped him.
Oh shit.
Like almost right after that. And then like a few months later, Vice, the print magazine, did an article where it's like interview with two people who just had sex, and his ex-girlfriend participated in it, so it was like published.
Oh no!
Like everywhere, like right away.
That's so shitty.
Yeah, it was so shitty. Like it's just like, oh Jesus. Yeah. Oh man!
Did you know that Sam Rockwell was in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie?
No.
Yeah, he was. He was the head thug.
Oh.
Yeah,
huh. There are a lot of.
Yeah, I'm a Sam Rockwell fan. Maybe that planted the seed as my Corey mania was waning.
Yeah, so you're Rockwell like a hurricane after that. That movie is so weird.
Oh yeah,
like the whole scene when I close my eyes and think about that movie, I see the rat Splinter learning karate moves from the human Splinter.
Yeah,
like, and it's so strange. Like,
yeah, it's a dark movie. It's pretty violent, and they really pump the brakes for the second one too.
Yeah, and it's also very literally dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a gloomy, like, it's so muted. And it's, I mean, in a way, like, I kind of like that because it's taking from the, kind of from the comics, you know, which are pretty dark.
Love the comics.
Yeah, they're really great.
Yeah, like, I remember, in the midst of my Turtle Mania, having, like, the origin, like, I guess it was, like, a trade paperback or something, and, like, reading it on the bus and thinking, this might be a little old for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And be introduced to violence.
Yeah.
Did you ever make up your own turtles?
No, I was more of a make up my own Mega Man villain guy or robot kind of guy. I figured there were only so many colors and weapons I could do for the turtles. But we definitely played turtles on the playground. Although the supervisors or whatever, the gym teachers who would make sure kids didn't bust their nose on the monkey bars would say no karate fighting because every piece of entertainment we consumed at that age was karate based, and so we wanted to mimic it.
You guys had to play hero fighting as opposed to ninja fighting.
Oh yeah, is that what it is in Europe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I used
marketing
to make my
assassins
own
assassins to kids. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. I would make turtles, and I had one of them whose name was Da Vinci, which, because I was young and I just knew artists, I didn't realize Leonardo and Da Vinci were the same.
Right.
But his color was white, and he had a whip, which is not an ninja weapon. I did not understand things. But the other thing I would do is, like, the idea of, like, people turning into half animal hybrids was so fucking cool. Like, I drew, like, versions of that constantly. And at some point, I had something approaching a complete collection of these toys.
Oh, yeah?
Like, oh, yeah. Like, when I was in my, like, very early, like, when I was a tween, I had a lot of these fucking things.
Yeah.
They're so good. They're so weird and gross. Like, Mutagen Man and Muck Man and, like, all the times they were just, like, a garbage monster.
Yeah.
Like, and there's just all kinds of detail, like... You know, he's got banana peels hanging off his elbow and mm-hmm. all this nonsense.
Did you ever have the Turtlemobile that shot the pizza disc?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah, I did. Thing.
Yeah, the thing is essentially a gun.
Yep.
That you can hold. And those pizzas would get lost, but those pizzas are, like, really good props, too. Mm-hmm. In fact, like, I'm looking at one right now. I have one of they made, like, really good comic-style versions of the Turtles.
Okay.
And I have the set that's in black and white, which is really cool. But then I have one of the color ones, and he's holding one of the Pizza Wagon pizzas, which I stole from a Goodwill. I don't even know why the whole Pizza Wagon. I just, like, pocketed one of the pizzas.
Gary Butterfield hates the poor.
Yeah. There's your Vice magazine. Like, local pervert Gary Butterfield steals from charity to feed his wicked action figure addiction.
Local pervert. So... How bizarre is it that, okay, so stuff from our childhood is always being regurgitated back at us.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, Michael Bay doing the Transformers or whatever. But, like, it's crazy that the Turtles just never went away.
Yeah.
They have had, like, reboots every 3 years and they've been on television. Like, it's almost approaching the level of spooky that, like, Sonic is.
Yeah. And they're also not, you know, they haven't really become unpopular. Like, right. They've been big with the same group of kids kind of forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's still, like, a show on Nickelodeon that gets hits. It's mm-hmm. probably not, you know, there's not Mania. There's not Coming Out of Their Shells tours and shit.
Right.
At this point. But, like, it's, yeah, you're right. It is crazy. It is a cultural institution.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if there's been a game that was as ubiquitous as, like, this or Turtles in Time, though.
Yeah, man. Turtles in Time was the I got that with my first year with my Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I've said it. I think I've told it. I mean, it's not even really a story, but I think I've said it before that I opened up the game first and didn't know I was getting a Super Nintendo.
Oh.
And then opened up Turtles in Time. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, yeah, I know what that big box is. Turtles.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was, like, a weird. Oh, yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Hyperstone Heist.
Yeah,
is the one that I had for Genesis. That was really good, and, like, the Game Boy one was pretty good too.
The second Game Boy one is better than the first one.
Yeah,
the first
that's one that I
severed
had.
From, like, Game Boy Giant Sprite Syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Back from the sewers is the one that I had.
Yeah, they're really good. Like, Turtles mm-hmm. have done pretty good as far as video games up until, like, some of those later ones based on those Nickelodeon games. The first year I went to PAX, they were the Turtles Smash Brothers knockoff that came and went.
Mm-hmm.
Really fast. They had the Turtle Wagon.
Really?
Like a life-size replica of the Turtle Wagon that we went inside and was a Ninja Turtles museum of, like, rare Turtles memorabilia.
Huh.
Like, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I'll put away some goddamn turtles. Like, and even this, which is, like, not, like I said, it's too hard, but it looks good. Has good music.
Uh-huh. Yeah, love the music. It's like, like this weird, like, minor key kind of Baroque kind of thing. Yeah.
Plays well despite being too hard,
mm-hmm.
and everything's real flickery too. Like,
yeah,
everything has a 2-frame animation cycle that just, like, is them phasing in and out of reality.
Yeah, they they could have corrected for a bunch of this stuff by just not putting as many enemies on the screen.
Yeah,
that would have gotten rid of the flicker, and it obviously would have messed with the difficulty. You know, brought it down just a little bit and made it, like, playable. But, like, as far as, like, design decisions, it's just too many enemies, and then, like, some jumps that have that weird NES quality of, like, I'm not sure I can make this given what I know about the jump physics. Like that jump that's right before you get to the top of the dam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that's hard.
Yeah.
I ran it when I quit this playthrough was in the third set of stages
mm-hmm.
with those jumps where there's a really low ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make them, but you just have to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in the Angry Video Game Nerd video on it. That's where he, like, freaks out.
Yeah.
And it is really, I mean, you know, Angry Video Game Nerd take, you know, whatever, but it's right. He's correct there. It's fucking annoying and awful. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had save states, and I just tried it a bunch of times and couldn't get to it. And I was like, well, enough of this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go eat some breakfast. Those things like that are just, it doesn't even feel like challenge. It just feels like, you know, it's like artificial challenge.
Yeah,
just a patience tester, and that's no good.
And the rest of it is just like, because NES game, this thing not good. So the edge spawning and the fact that there's no persistence to what you kill, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of Castlevania-ness to it in that you have to stop and fire your weapon and there's a little bit of a delay.
Right.
To it, so you just have to time it out correct. You know, to hit guys, if you can get that, you're sitting pretty. The dam level, as infamous as that was, because that was where we couldn't, you know, what stopped our underage playthroughs, because there's no continues and no password, so,
right.
You know, that sucks too. You know, if you just fired it up, it's not saying you fired up casually just to play. If knowing that you can switch turtles, I got through the dam on the first try,
mm-hmm.
Just because I could switch, and all my guys were in pretty rough shape afterwards.
Yeah.
But I got through it, you know, which was which was rare when I was younger. I couldn't get through it every single time. You know, but that it's such a, I don't know, it's not as hard as maybe it has the reputation for being. It mm-hmm. is still too difficult to kind of be perfect. But this could have been another, you know, Konami super classic, as opposed to being kind of eh.
Yeah.
Which is what I call it now. Well, why are there ads in the middle of Skype?
That is unacceptable.
I just moved my mouse. I rolled over it.
Yeah.
But we.
No, I wasn't saying you having an ad.
No, I know. I'm just it didn't just literally pop out of anywhere.
Right.
And I rolled away, and now when I put my mouse over it, it turns into an animated GIF of a paper crane for extra gum. Ugh, Skype.
Yeah, no, that's that abandoned ship.
What if this had been a business podcast?
Yeah.
We were going to relaunch the turtles.
Yeah.
Continue to launch.
I will pay money if Skype gives me a version of Skype that works.
So, yeah.
Blah. Yeah. But you're right. You know, if not for those things, it could have been a good game on its own merits as a Konami title, you know, as opposed to just being known for being a Turtles game.
Yeah. And for being hard and being something that everyone owned,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. I like this game. This is, you know, the best game we've done.
Who recommended this? That probably goes into being
Joel Torres.
Oh, thanks, Joel. Thank you for having us play this.
Go fund yourself.
Yeah, yeah. go fund a nice afternoon out.
Yeah, go fund yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, good work. Yeah. I like this game. It is too hard, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. Looking on the Game Facts boards, we've got Brian Craig Smith, who wanted to start up a discussion about the AVGN review. Did anyone see the review for the game by the Angry Video Game Nerd? I thought it was hilarious. The part where he kept trying to jump a short space was great, but I figured out long ago. The swimming made no sense how it would work for one level, but they couldn't swim on the platform levels? Lol, one of my favorite views.
Oh,
and then
good job.
And then no responses.
Yeah. Aww. We throw him a bone. You know what's interesting too? If you look at the not the message board, you look at the reviews,
uh-huh.
They're all sixes and sevens. This is the kind of thing where I would expect more people giving it ones and twos, which mm-hmm. there's a couple, but not very many, and more people being this is an underrated masterpiece. You know, but it's everyone's calling it kind of like it is.
Yeah.
You know, a 6 to 8 range.
Is that a regression to the mean where it's not kid cool where only two people played it and one person's going to be best ever, another person's going to be worst ever, but just because of the saturation, they're people have been exposed to it?
Probably.
Yeah.
One of the people, one of the reviews says it's not quite a cow blunder, but there's plenty of room for improvement. And there's one really great review by Kurt Vokes, where the name of the review is Turtles in a Half Shell, In Your Face, all caps. And I can't tell how much of this is supposed to be funny. If this whole thing's supposed to be funny, I think it's very funny.
Right.
But the review, and I won't read the whole thing, but just a couple bits here. If you want a game that is pleasant to the ears, easy to navigate through, and has a compelling story, then this is not for you. As soon as you push the power button, you are granted only a few seconds to enjoy peace and quiet before you're denied silence when the title screen kicks into your monitor. If you decide to stick around with the title for a while, you get served one of the most in-your-face, scratch that, in-your-face openings in cinematic history. Not video game history, cinematic history.
Yeah.
And then he gives a whole different category for the opening, which he gives a 9 out of 10. The cinematic introduces you to four turtles evolving into Teenage Mutant Ninjas one by one. But if you think that's it, you're wrong. As soon as they evolve, they start beating the crap out of your monitor before they present to you their personal mugshots, accompanied by their name and arsenal. Like, he just really thinks this is way badass. It's kind of weird. Like, I did not think about this as badass.
It's neat. Like, I was when I started the game up, I was like, oh, I remember that. That's kind of cool. Like, you know, it's not quite Ninja Gaiden level of cinematic, but it works.
Yeah, it's fine. It, like, introduces the guys.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not, I was not, did not think it was quite that badass.
Yeah.
As Robert Kurt Vokes did.
Yeah.
What is up with those guys who are on fire who like shed off a leg that just kind of kicks ambulantly through the air at you? Is that what that looked like to you too? Like, it's one of their legs?
Kind of. I just figured that they just kind of took a slice out of themselves. Or it was like a little flame baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Gross little flame baby.
Yeah. I kind of want to play this some more.
Yeah, it's good. Like, we could talk about it more too. We haven't exhausted turtles. We haven't even talked about the coming out of their shells tour or the Wish You a Turtle Christmas. Like, I did an old podcast all about We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, because that thing's amazing. Have you ever watched? We talked about this. Have you ever watched that?
No, yeah. No, it's still on my list along with Spiders Mahone Up.
Yeah, Spiders Mahone Up. Get over break. Get the level dudes over. Have some drinks and watch some bad TV. Like, between the two of them, it's like an hour.
Yeah.
And it is a fun, good fun time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we gotta find more Turtles games. The second half of this Turtles talk.
All Turtles all the time.
Oh, Turtles podcast.
Yeah.
Turtles. I'm sure there is such a thing, either like by Nickelodeon or with like insufferable teens.
Yeah. I'm sure that there is an official Turtles podcast that has like two episodes. It was based around one of the movie launches. And it is like persistently number 18 on the iTunes charts.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Like, Man of Steel app podcast and just commercials, and people are just downloading like crazy.
Mm hmm.
Mm hmm.
Uh-huh. So what are we doing next time?
Captain Planet for the NES.
Mm.
I have no history with. Looking at it real quick, it's atrocious-looking platformer shooter hybrid.
Because NES.
Yeah, and it looks like it has four colors.
Ooh. Is one of them orange?
One of them is orange.
Mm-hmm. Is one of them teal?
Kinda.
Okay.
And then one of them is like this hideous, intense purple-blue.
Ooh.
Thing. It looks pretty rough.
Yeah.
But that's fine. You know, I like this is like a Saturday morning cartoon, you know, jamboree here at Abject Suffering. I used to watch this fucking shit.
Me too.
Did you ever see the toys?
Which specific ones? I remember there being a set of Burger King toys.
I was thinking of the action figures, but then I also realized in my head I was actually thinking of the Toxic Avenger cartoon.
Oh shit.
Toys. Because those are insane. There's one that had like a giant nose, and then you poured slime in through his brain and snot would come out of his giant nose.
Ugh.
He also had a wheel for one of his legs. So
he was sympathetic. He was handicapped.
Yeah, exactly. It was that disgusting monster. Leave him alone. He fought in Toxic Nom.
Toxic Nom.
Anywho. So Joel, go fund yourself. And listen to the other shows on the network.
Yep. Rate us and review us on iTunes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do that. And duckfeed.tv/tipjar.
Yep.
Do all the things.
Do all the things. And most of all, keep on listening and tell your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until next time.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.